The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thanks for joining me. Yeah, new intro. Hope you guys like it. It is long overdue. I got some new cover art too, and I'm also now on Google Play. So those of you who don't have Apple or don't like Spreaker, Google Play and or Spotify is also your other two options if you are so inclined. And I hope you do check me out and give me a like or subscribe. Does help me out. I promise you that a whole bunch. So, there's really no shortage of things to talk about today. And I would like to address three topics. Those three topics are things that I didn't think I'd be talking about, a week or two ago. And so we're going to get into those three topics. I think we all know what number one is. There's no need to hide that about Roman Reigns' cancer. I'm going to get into my thoughts about that. And also dive into Dean Ambrose's heel turn. Was it ill-timed? Was it a smart move? Was it a gutsy move by WWE? I'm going to get into all of that as well. And, of course, the debacle that is the Saudi Arabia crown jewel event. Now, I have some very strong opinions on that as well. You guys know where I stand, at least if you listened to my last show. A week and a half I hope it's not more than 2 weeks ago. I really try to do this once a week. So I got three topics that I'm going to talk about. And before I do that, if you guys want to follow me, I do encourage you to do so. It's at the WWE Podcast on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram, believe it or not. I'm out there on Instagram, or as the tweeners call it, the generation, the millennials. We call it Insta, right? What am I saying Instagram for? It's way too much work. It's just Insta. So those are where you guys can find me, those places, those social media platforms. And I do encourage you, if you like wrestling or maybe even some non-wrestling talk, I do occasionally tweet out things that are going on that I'm watching. Maybe I used to watch Big Brother and things, so I had some strong opinions on that. And all right, let's get to WWE. That's why you're listening to this show. And let's start with the number one talked about, and rightly so, topic of the day when it comes to the professional wrestling world. And that goes without saying, it's Roman Reigns coming out on Monday Night Raw last night saying that he has been battling, or at least has I guess, been reintroduced to the leukemia that he battled, I guess, 11 years ago, put it in remission, and it has, I guess, been creeping back into his life over the past 6 months or so. And that, if it didn't come to a shock to you, I have no idea how you got that information. I mean, I don't think anybody saw that coming. You know, they're in Providence, but at that point, I don't think it would have mattered where they were. This is clearly above and beyond anything that's going on in the world of professional wrestling when it comes to, as they so eloquently and sometimes cringeworthy put it, this is all in the name of entertainment. It's almost as if they've ratcheted that up to make sure everybody knows what they're doing is just entertainment. It makes me cringe at times. I've ranted several times, almost ad nauseum, about their entertainment type of culture that they just ad nauseum present on a weekly basis and transparently talk about how they are just an entertainment company and how they're just here to put smiles on people's faces and be role models for children and all the charity work that they do. You guys know how passionately I feel about that nonsense. But clearly this news transcends all of that. This news is beyond anything going on in storyline. This goes beyond anything that any event that WWE may or may not put on at this point, and I think we know what event that is. This goes beyond anything, really. And it hits home, I think, for a lot of people with Roman Reigns. Really, I think for the first time in his entire career, being humanized, making him relatable. They did it in one fell swoop in a 10-minute promo. They made Roman Reigns, I don't want to go so far as to say, the top babyface in the company, even though he won't be there for several months, at least is my assumption. I don't know if I'd go that far. Many people feel that upon his return, that he will be one of the biggest babyfaces upon his return, and they very, very well may be right. I wish the best for the guy. On this show, I have absolutely destroyed the Roman Reigns character. Admittedly so, I'm not hiding it. I've almost done it on a weekly basis. More really directed at WWE's stubbornness to not turn him heel. That seems to be more of my frustration. Is the was really directed at WWE, not so much the Roman Reigns, or as Roman referred to himself as Joe. I mean, that's his name, right? His real name. And so that's not a secret that I have been extremely critical and extremely frustrated of WWE to not turn Roman Reigns heel. I mean, hell, I put it in my intro. I put it in all the intros that I end up creating for this show. But that goes beyond all of that. As passionate as I feel about that topic and all of that, and I do. Still to my core, I still feel passionate about it. I believe that WWE probably are smart enough to realize that Roman coming out and doing this will endear the fans to him and instantly turn him babyface, because you turn your brain off from being in a fantasy environment and booing this character that has been shoved down people's throats for 4 years, and it's been a war of attrition of Vince versus the fans in terms of this babyface reaction, or as Roman eloquently put it on Monday night, which this is the only complaint I have about this promo, and this is somewhat similar to Batista on SmackDown 1000 when he said, whether you booed me, whether you cheered me, it didn't matter to me, or whether I lost or I won. All I came out here to do was entertain you. Michael Cole said it. Roman Reigns said it on Monday night last night. And that's the one criticism I could take is, well, Roman, when Roman said, whether you booed me or cheered me, you always had a loud reaction for me. It is such corporate speak. Such corporate speak. Garbage, brainwash, nonsense that is just, it's running rampant in WWE. It's almost as if, you know, upon walking in the arena, you get injected with this toxicity of corporate jumbo lingo. I mean, it's such a nonsense thing to say when you're presenting people as good and bad guys, and it is as simple as that, and you can make it out to be that's antiquated, that's out of date. No, it's not. Look at any TV show. Any TV show has a good and a bad guy. That, you could say that's oversimplified. It's not. It's pure down-to-earth language that every single show has a good and bad guy, an antagonist and protagonist, especially if you're watching sitcoms, anything. Everybody wants to root for somebody and root against someone. So when you say, oh, it doesn't matter, it's just about the level of noise. It doesn't matter what type of noise it is. BS. I am so tired of hearing that. That's the only part that I go, come on. And Batista's promo outside of, I enjoyed Batista's promo, by the way. SmackDown 1000 I thought was good. I didn't think it was blow away, but I thought it was good. Batista seems to be one of the talking points as well coming out of that show. Maybe a teaser for Batista and Triple H at WrestleMania. And maybe that's where they go. And maybe it's Shawn versus Taker. And, but those are my best guesses at an early WrestleMania event, or at least an early look at WrestleMania. So anyway, back to Roman's promo. You know, outside of that corporate mumbo jumbo, I really, everybody, how can you not? If you're a human being listening to that promo, it was heartfelt. It was real. And amazing how when something's real and you don't give someone a script, amazing how things become night and day when it comes to believability and engagement of the viewer and the people in attendance when you don't feel like you're being BS'd, when you feel as if they're being genuine. Amazing, isn't it? So I'm not saying that, this is a good thing, obviously, for Roman Reigns. You know, the man, the family man really comes first. As much as I despise what WWE's done with his character, come on, I'm not that cynical to think that that's more important than this man's life. It's not even close. So I hope he gets well soon and beats cancer again. I don't want to sound too somber. I mean, I love wrestling. This is just one of those bring it back to reality moments. And Michael Cole, I guess, he put that in perspective too, and had to say this is all about entertainment. And okay, Michael, we know. Okay, I hate watching movies and being reminded I'm watching a movie. Okay, I bring that analogy up every time, but it's true. And clearly, Corey Graves very choked up. Renee Young choked up, and but look, this guy's not dead. Okay, he's not dead. He had to relinquish the Universal Championship. He has access to some of the best medical care on the planet and has a lot of money to boot to, get this issue resolved. So I believe he'll come out of this fine. You know, this guy's not dead. He's not retiring. It's just it's more of a shock to the system when you're in a fantasy environment and you get pulled back to reality by the struggles of life. And that's exactly what this was. So that's really all I have to say. And, the cynical part of me, oh, believe me, it exists, was thinking, what if this is all a work? Could you imagine if this is all a work and he comes out on Raw next week, or maybe interrupts and interferes in the whatever tournament they have, right, for the Universal Championship to crown the new champion and just lays waste to all the baby faces, comes out and just rags on the fans that I pulled at your heartstrings and you guys bought into this. You're such a bunch of cowards. You're all a bunch of, I would love it. I think that it obviously would, it's not true because you'd have sponsors immediately on the phone with WWE. It would create such a buzz and uproar, I should say. And it's not happening, but the cynical part of me, anytime you're watching a wrestling show, I understand that certain things are real, right? Like when Chris Benoit, the whole Chris Benoit incident, I was like, is that a work? Is that a, Did Eddie Guerrero really die? You know, did certain things really happen? So the really bad part of me thought, what if this is a work? I don't know, just some entertaining or maybe not so entertaining food for thought, depending on how much of a cynical person you are, right? All right, so the other topic I wanted to talk about and related to that was Dean Ambrose's heel turn later in the night. The question that people are asking and debating, was it in good taste? Was it something that it went too far to do to really perceive that storyline comes above Roman Reigns, or at Roman Reigns' expense? And in a night where the Shield loses Roman Reigns to cancer in real life, and then you have Dean turn his back on Seth, I wholeheartedly, I think you know what I'm going to say, agree with that decision. I think it's a gutsy move by WWE. I think it's the right move by WWE. This has nothing to do with Roman. It's Dean turning on Seth, and the Shield is disbanded. And to be honest, this whole second reunion of the Shield, you know, they had their first run, right, when we all loved them and they were new and fun, and then you had just Roman and Seth because Dean was injured, so their reunion got cut short, and then they all were reunited. And since then, you know, it just hasn't felt the same. It's kind of felt half-hearted. Never felt like it really got going. It's just that three individuals kind of had their own storylines, did a quick run as the Shield, and it just never felt the same as the first time. It just, I feel like it can never get going. And so I'm all for it. I think we were teased a little bit with Dean maybe staying with the Shield after teasing he might leave, and okay, well, he's staying. Oh, he just won the tag team championships with Seth. Of course he's staying, right? And then you get the big swerve. I loved it. I think the heel turn from Dean is a long time coming. It's been years since he's been a heel. Years and years since he was with the Shield, I think, originally. I don't believe he was a heel ever since then. You know, after the Shield broke up, he instantly became a babyface and went after Seth. And so I really think that this was a gutsy move. I think people were shocked looking in the audience. I think it was great. I loved it. I think it was ballsy, and that's what you need. That's what you need sometimes, and even in a PG environment. I loved the turn. I thought it was tastefully done. You know, it wasn't about Roman, had nothing to do with his cancer, although people are trying to associate that with this turn. Folks, you need to take a step back if you're that offended by it. Okay, I gave you a warning in the open of the show. If you're offended by things easily, you may have a problem with me, all right? And it's not about Roman Reigns' cancer. It is about the Shield, guys. Story. It's not, he didn't beat up Roman Reigns. Now, if he had come out and pretended to, you know, hug Roman and oh, get better. And it was Dean giving Roman Reigns the dirty deeds and he walks off. I mean, okay, that maybe have gone a little too far. This had nothing to do with Roman. This is between Dean and Seth. And I'm all for it. I don't know how they go about their tag team championship run here. I would think that they, you know, they forfeit their titles, I don't, or put it up in some kind of tournament as well, or, I don't know. But it's interesting that they hook, line, and sinkered people into thinking Dean was cool with everything still. And they give the big swerve. I liked it. So we'll see where they go from here. I mean, it's, if we all think back, Dean and Seth have a long history of matches that seemed to go on for months and months and months and months. And then it went on for a couple more months. So now we're back to it. I think it's been long enough, though, and both guys have advanced their careers enough and created more of an identity for each other that I'm okay with it coming back full circle again to them feuding. They can put on good matches. Dean has not had a chance to be a full-fledged heel. Seth was the heel when they had their program for many months, and now it's Dean's turn to really shine as a heel, and I'm very curious to see how he does. Maybe they give him new entrance music. I don't know, but I like it. So let's move on. Third topic I wanted to cover. Crown Jewel dare I say, the two dirty words that I'm sure everyone is whispering backstage and told just not to talk about, Saudi Arabia. Now, I think it goes without question. I'm not a political guy. Okay, I don't follow politics at all, really. I mean, I get the gist of what's going on. I know who's president, okay. I know he's a Republican. And I know that in Saudi Arabia, a U.S. journalist was captured, or at least duped into visiting a government office, I guess. Okay, and guys, I know the Twitter police are going to be all over me if I get any details wrong here. And that's fine. I'm giving you generalities that I know. Basically, he was killed for speaking out against the Saudi Arabian government. And there's evidence all over the place of it. And the Saudi Arabian government is claiming that they had no idea. And they, you know, he got in a fight and that's what resulted in it or something like that. And they, at first they claimed nothing. And then, oh, he got in a fight and he was accidentally killed. It's a bunch of nonsense. And when WWE first went to the Saudi Arabia and had the greatest Royal Rumble, to trump the Royal Rumble here because it's the greatest, you know, overseas. And they had all this. Remember, you guys remember the propaganda videos, right? When they're talking about the women progression in Saudi Arabia. That was all part of a Saudi Arabia funded video. It's a propaganda video. It wasn't something WWE just decided to do on their own. It was something that was, I would say, almost heavy-handed by the Saudi Arabian government as part of the deal for WWE to come here to use the WWE platform and brand and massive audience to try to convey that their culture is changing for the better, to include women and look at all this progressive stuff we're doing, to try to align themselves with what WWE values are of, well, we all know what they are. Progressive and smiles and all this, yet you still don't allow women to compete in a fantasy environment show, right? Okay. So now WWE is caught between a rock and a hard place. This apparently was $40 million that Saudi Arabia is paying WWE to come to their place and put on the Crown Jewel pay-per-view. So does WWE do this? Do they really give themselves a black eye, not only from the public, but from their sponsors, and just full steam ahead? You know, this is about, you know, entertaining the fans. Okay, you know, we have stockholders to uphold. This is going to take a hit in the revenue, and, you know, maybe in the third or fourth quarter, I don't know, whatever the hell quarter we're in, is it going to make our quarterly earnings look bad? Are our stockholders more interested in the bottom line than what the perception of WWE going to Saudi Arabia and putting on this show, despite what happened to the journalist, and still putting on the show, worried about the bottom line? I think it's a PR nightmare. That is the best way to put this. I, personally, would still go on with the show. I would. And people would, why? Why would you do that? WWE has a choice. WWE has a contract with Saudi Arabia. And I'm sure the contract has language that if in the event of a awful publicity stunt or some kind of terrible publicity that WWE would not be held liable, blah, 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 they can back out. But WWE has a responsibility to their shareholders and stockholders. I bet if you polled the majority of people that have a monetary interest in WWE, that they would overwhelmingly agree to have WWE continue forward with the show, rather than just worry about, well, it's the perception. Can you believe WWE's doing this? You know what? They may take heat for a week or two, maybe even a month, and people are going to forget. They're going to forget quickly, because people forget things quickly. This is not WWE who created and committed this crime. This is WWE who agreed to the terms of going to Saudi Arabia before any of this happened and putting on a show. And that's what they're going to do. And I really don't have a prediction of what I think they're going to do. I think the pay-per-view will happen, but if it happens in Saudi Arabia or not, I don't know. I don't think they know. I think we'll know in the next week or so, because we're coming up very close to that date of Saudi Arabia. I know Evolution is this Sunday, and that seems to be overshadowed pretty damn badly by Roman Reigns, by Dean Ambrose heel turn, and by Saudi Arabia. It's like, oh yeah, the Evolution pay-per-view. That seemed such a big deal a couple of weeks ago. It seems to be on the back burner now with everything else just coming to the forefront and taking a priority over Evolution. And that's kind of a shame for the women of WWE. But anyway, so that's my take on Saudi Arabia. I think they should go. I really do. And people will disagree with me, and they say, oh, he's all worried about the money. He's just worried about the money. You know what? People don't, and until you're in that position, you're Vince McMahon, right? It's your money. Say there's $40 million sitting there, and you decide, oh, well, do I want to look bad, or do I want to take this money because I'm contractually obligated to? And yes, you can get out of it, but you could take it and take a little heat for a short period of time and have people forget, because that's what's going to happen. People will forget. And is it really that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things? I don't know. It's not as if WWE is going, you know, into Afghanistan the week after 9/11. Okay, that's a little different. Okay. So anyway, that was my take. I can't wait to hear your guys' reactions to try to destroy my opinion. That's fine. But that's my take on it. One last little thing before I head out, guys, is SmackDown 1000. I know that was last week. I realize it was a week ago, but it was significant enough to talk about. Undertaker got booed when he mentioned Saudi Arabia. That's telling. I mean, geez, that's telling. You have a legend out there, and he gets booed for even mentioning the event. Ouch. Ouch. But I think, again, people's memory and short-term memory is what WWE should focus on, and I know that that may sound like all you care about is the money. I'm thinking about it from a business perspective if I'm WWE. Do I want to lose $40 million to have people go, wah, and get mad at WWE for doing their show? When are people really going to turn off TVs and never watch WWE again because of this decision? Come on. I really don't think so. So, but SmackDown 1000 overall I thought was good. Batista, I think, stole the show in some ways. You know, Randy Orton being in there with Evolution again was weird. But I like how he didn't completely turn babyface. He still played his heel character that he's been since he's turned, right? He didn't just flip and forget everything he's done over the last couple of months with Jeff Hardy. Rey Mysterio and Shinsuke, hey, good match. It was an 8 or 9 minute match. Not off the charts, but it's good to see Rey Mysterio back. They seem to have really good chemistry. I'm cool with it. I think that Rey is a asset, although short term, to the SmackDown Live roster. And the Ronda Rousey gig from, I know I never got a chance to touch on this, the Ronda Rousey Bellas thing that happened last week with the promo, I loved it. I said, where's this been? Ronda seems to, you know, first of all, I don't know who says, I'm going to eviscerate you like smallpox. I mean, that line could have been taken out. Nobody talks like that. Other than that, I thought that was Ronda Rousey's best promo to date. People were talking about it. It seemed to be the number one thing coming out of Raw last week. I know Raw was last night, but a week ago. It was a blazing promo, great writing. Ronda delivered it well for the most part. So I'd give the promo an A, for at least compared to what she's done so far. So that's what I had to say about that. And one more thing. I know I keep saying one more thing. I'm like Steve Jobs here. The whole push of Drew McIntyre, I like it. I think he's a big-time player. I think they're grooming him for a very, very prominent position in the near future. I think it's maybe sooner than later. This guy's taken down Braun Strowman. He's got a presence. He's got a great look and build. And he's believable. He's tough. And you can't see through his work. It looks like he is aggressive by nature, naturally. That's who it feels like he is. And I think it's time for Drew McIntyre to shine. Do I think you shoot him right to the top and have him win the Universal Championship? No. Slow it down. But this guy has a really good foundation to build on, and I think WWE recognizes that as well. So keep an eye on Drew McIntyre. over the next few months. That's all I got to say about that, as Stone Cold Steve Austin would say. All right, guys. Well, that's all the time I got for now. I will be back, I promise, sooner than later with hopefully more than one show every 10 days. So keep it tuned here. Please follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast, and also on Instagram, Google Play Music or Google Play Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, you name it. I'm there. And until then, guys, I'll talk to you next time.
Get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.